Listening Dog Media.
The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
The Hot Mess Mum. The mum most likely to send her kids to school in regular clothes on non-school uniform day. The mum who forgets to sign the permission slip for school trips. The mum who has probably put leftovers in her kids' lunchbox on more than one occasion. But most importantly, the Hot Mess Mum is actually rocking it and is doing a far better job than even she thinks. Please welcome our Hot Mess Mums, telling it as it is, Kelly and Jenny Powell.
It is the Hot Mess Mums Club. I'm Kelly Pegg.
And I'm Jenny Powell, even though I know I'm fully rolled up, it's me in here. And we are delighted to have on the show the beautiful, the one and only Tamsin Althwaite. Woo!
Hey, woo! Woo! Yeah,
Tamsin. You get your own applause in lockdown, don't you?
Woo! You have to.
We're back for another year of the Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan.
We've got some exciting plans for 2021. We can't wait to share them with you.
Head to swanbrand.co.uk and use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20 for 20% off.
The Hot Mess Mums. Kelly Pegg with Jenny Powell.
Oh, are you craving an audience, Tam? It must be...
No, I'm actually not. At the beginning, when I started, when we first went into lockdown, I started seeing people do lots of, like, pieces to camera.
Yeah.
And some actors were doing monologues and things. Mm. And it started to scare me that that was the way forward, and now I was going to have to start, like, putting myself out there by doing monologues and things. And the cringe factor was so massive that I just hid and was like, no, please don't anyone ask me to do any acting monologues.
Did you see the thing with David Tennant and... I was in Stitch. I mean, just they were brilliant, weren't they?
I think, did they write it themselves as well? They're like, yes. Writing actors extraordinaire.
Yeah, yeah. It's very funny.
But I do understand lots of people were missing audiences, especially in theatre. So, you know, people started doing lots of singing online and stuff.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you're taking a bow every night at the end of a big performance,
mm-hmm.
You're not getting that level of serotonin running through you, isn't it?
It's just good for the ego, to be fair.
But no, I am quite happy. I'm quite a home bird, so I'm not actually missing the applause at the moment.
But you were just about to launch yourself in that Chekhov, the seagull with your plot, weren't you? Which I thought was, I mean, would you think, will that happen or what? I'm just intrigued because I was so excited for you.
Oh, I mean, when am I going to do Chekhov if it doesn't happen?
I know!
No, I mean, it was adapted by Anya Reiss, so it was modern day Chekhov, but it was still very much Chekhov and all of that cast. So yeah, we did do 5 performances.
Yeah,
and we were having the press night on the Thursday, and then we all went into lockdown, obviously. But we are talking about, I mean, Jamie Lloyd and his company, like all the creatives, are talking about doing it next year, hopefully. And wanting everyone back. So it's really now about availability, because when we all get let out, we're hoping there's going to be so much work that the industry is going to be flooding with it, because, you know, we won't have actually made as much as normal. People are going to be flooding back to theatres. That's what we're all hoping. Mm-hmm. And then will everyone be available?
Right, we're on standby, aren't we, Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
Bit of check-off. Never goes amiss.
I got an A-star at GCSE Drama.
There you go. She's there.
I did. And I often think I should have done more with it, but I wanted to be a journalist, so I switched. But, I used to love it.
But I bet it has served you somewhere in your journalistic career.
Well, I went into presenting on radio, and I think that's when it came into its own. Maybe then, you know.
Even that, even the element or, you know, the discipline of, like, the show must go on. If you've trained in any form of drama, there is a resilience, isn't there, that is like...
Whatever happens.
Whatever happens, you continue, you smile, you carry on.
So we were talking, we've all had a global drama, obviously, that we've all been through and still going through, and... It was lovely. We were talking to Tracy Ann and Julie, Graham and Denise about dumb breeding. For you, was that like a saving grace for those early months when you were gosh?
It was 2 weeks into lockdown, I got a call from Julie.
Yeah.
She was in the middle of writing it anyway. And they were looking for an outlet and producers. And then the producers came along and were like, you know, we've got a slot on YouTube. We just put it out on YouTube weekly. So it was like the most theatrical thing you could do because you were recording it. Then it was going out and then Julie was writing it. And then we would rehearse, record, out. So it was really instant.
Yeah.
And also, I just think, I don't know about you, but I learned more about the menopause filming a 9-part comedy drama than I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, information. You get more educated from that.
But through so much humour, like rather than making it like, oh, she's having a funny turn with the hot blushes. And I think that lots of people think that women get to that age and then they get depressed or they turn a bit crazy or whatever it is, you know. Well, I don't think the menopause is explained to anyone properly, do you?
No, not at all. And this perimenopause thing, which goes on for years and all the rest of it. But a friend of mine was saying yesterday, she's reading this book called The Shift, right? And she said, there's such a negative sort of outlook on the
Byron book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was saying that if you read that, it's all really positive. It's like, listen, it's not that you're grumpy and that you're, you know, getting aggressive and you just know what you want all of a sudden. And it's so positive because it's like people say stuff to me and go, no. Yes. No, definitely not. And there's no maybes anymore.
Yeah.
And that's quite, you know, I had quite an epiphany about that because normally I'm just a bit like, I can't, so undecided. I don't know. I dither all the time. But there are so many positive things that come out of it, but we don't tend to, you know, talk about that. It's all the negativity. No. But I think dumb breeding was just perfect. Perfectly pitched.
It was perfectly pitched. It wasn't sanitized, was it? So you had, you know, you had the swearing and you had the grim stuff that comes with it, but at the same time everyone's laughing about it or finding moments to laugh about it.
So
it was lovely to do it with such great women as well.
And I think it's great that, because I think women's behaviour is demonised a lot, not just with the menopause, but with periods, with having children. You know, we talk about, oh, once you've had a baby you're a bit like this, and you know, we do it about women all the time. And I think I've just started watching reruns of Sex and the City, which I loved, and I'm still laughing out loud now at nearly 40 years old. Chris isn't, my husband's not so happy because he thinks I'm having a midlife crisis and I want to leave him, but it brings it to the forefront that that show broke so many taboos with women being sexually free and women swearing, women talking about vaginas, you know. And then there's not been anything really massively sort of so much since then and that time. So dumb breeding sort of did that, but obviously it was different, but still breaking those taboos and still bringing that humour and allowing women to talk about issues that affect us all, really.
Yeah.
You've had the big 5-0 while we've been locked down as well, but...
When lockdown 2 started on November the 5th, my 50th.
I believe it. I was like, no, not now. No.
Yeah. And not just that. First off, we were meant to go to Mallorca to the body camp.
Yeah.
Big group of us. So I'd hired the place for the weekend.
Because you love that, don't you? You really like that.
It's like such a reset place for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were doing that with loads of us. So annoying. Everyone was on a WhatsApp group talking about, you know, where we were going to stay the night before we got there. We're going to have a big slap up meal on my actual birthday, then go to the retreat because obviously, although the food's amazing, you know, your portion controls. So,
yeah.
And then on the way back, we were going to have lunch somewhere once we'd been in. And then, of course, all of this happened. And then as it was coming closer and closer, we cancelled. And then it was, right, the rule of six. So I planned loads of little outdoor gatherings with six different people. And it was literally 2 this week, 3 next week. So all these brilliant places that have outdoor terraces with outdoor heaters,
mm-hmm.
I booked them all up. Really, seriously, every restaurant that I knew that had a terrace, I was like, right, I'm going to ask those six people to come there and then those six people to come there. None of it happened.
But it looked like you had a lovely time because I know how much family means to you.
Yeah, and also I had a lovely family called my fake 50th back in August when mm-hmm. we were a bit worried, but we'd been let out of lockdown. So I organised all my family in the Cotswolds. So I'd seen all my family. Kate and I met and went to see Denise Van Outen's show at Proud. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, I did a few little celebrations and then it was cut short. To be fair, I think my liver might have suffered.
Yeah, have a bit of a detox before a real blowout next year in Mallorca, basically, before the boot camp bit. Your lovely Tom, who I've met, he is, I mean, Sir Kelly, Tom is he 20 years younger than you?
Well, I was about to say, you two have got a lot in common, haven't you? Not only are you 50 and both look amazing for it, but you've both got younger men.
There's a lot to be said for it, Kelly.
I know, and I've got an old duffer. Mine's 52. I've done it the wrong way round.
Is he?
Yeah. I always liked older guys, but now I'm getting older myself. I'm starting to look the other way, but never mind. That's another story.
Don't tell him.
I'm joking.
How old is yours, Jen? He's how much younger than you?
Martin's 47, so he's 5 years younger than me. So, yeah, it's not as much. But having met you and Tom, and then you've got two girls like I have, and obviously Tom's not the dad, same with Martin, and their girls, it's quite significant, really, isn't it? Because they have such, it's hard work, really, I think, when you come in as a younger stepdad and the girls, it's not two lads, you know, come on, you know, we don't need to communicate that much, let's just have a game of footy. It's very different, isn't it?
It takes a really special human, I think, to watch, you know, the girls sometimes talk to me not very nicely, but him have to bite his tongue.
Yeah.
Or sometimes he'll back me up and say, you can't speak to your, you know, and sometimes he wants to get more involved. And sometimes the girls just would rather be with him and are like, where's Tom? Where's Tom? Where's Tom? And I'm the only one in.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just adore him. And then sometimes they just absolutely roast him.
Yeah. Yeah. Every day's different.
It depends on, you know, we've got a house full of hormones at the moment with myself and my 12-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the hashtag here is pray for Tom. He's pretty incredible. And the four of us are on form and on point, and none of us are in some kind of strange hormonal headspace or over-emotional. Nani, who's only eight, you know, someone's on the edge a bit or in a bad mood, hasn't had enough sleep. When we are just as we are, it's a really lovely four.
Yeah.
The four of us have a wonderful time. Mm. And it's a really lovely family thing. And we can make each other laugh through dancing ridiculously or singing ridiculously.
Yeah.
Sometimes it breaks into, you know, harmony. Sometimes we're all doing a dance. And sometimes we're all actually kind of wrestling and fighting.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing to organized, you know, chaos. Mm. And harmony all at the same time that I think I've ever felt. It's lovely.
Yeah, it is. It's a different dynamic, but it does work. And also, stepdad dancing is excusable. If it's your real dad dancing like that, difficult. But when it's your stepdad, you're kind of all right. That's what I've worked out, isn't it? You never let your real dad get away with it.
But I think that my girls like to, because it's three women in the house, it sometimes goes three girls against him.
Absolutely.
And they love it when they're like me and Mum against Tom.
Yeah. Got it here. And the dog. The dog's a girl as well. It's the same thing. Just have some testosterone in this house, please. Just a little bit. Just some help.
But because Tom's so in touch with his feminine
side. He is. He's lovely. Yeah. But it's interesting because when I saw you, you were discussing the baby thing. Well, do you remember we were in the Cotswolds and I was like, what do you think? I mean, Tom wants a baby, Jenny. What do you think? I'm like, not now, put it to bed. It's fine. You've got two lovely daughters. Tom, it's fine. You've got it all there. It's already made. I remember I was trying to help you. I was looking at you thinking, I'm helping. Am I helping? I'm putting mom. Am I supposed to be doing this?
I don't think he's ever really has wanted one enough. And all his friends from home have them and they're quite young. Mm-hmm. And I think he sees the amount of work.
Yeah. No. Well, Kelly's right, isn't it?
So my daughter's seven, and a bit like what you said, you know, when you said about the way the girls talk to you sometimes, I have that a lot. She's like a 13-year-old, and my son is nearly three, and he just doesn't sleep. And then we're at this point in our life where are we going for a third, because I'm 40 next year, or are we not? And this discussion, Jenny will tell you, has been going on for about a year. And my husband's just like, get on with it, let's just do it, stop talking about it. But I'm petrified because it is hard work, isn't it?
I do sometimes get that thing of, I've got two beautiful, healthy children, why would I risk it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What happens if, you know, when almost like count the blessings that you have. Because sometimes it's a bit like be careful what you wish for, isn't it?
Yes.
You have, yeah. Yeah. You met him at a yoga studio, is that right?
Yes. Yep, not yoga. He was actually working there, like ticking people in.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, but we were, but that's how we met. I saw him a couple of times in a class, in a spin class, and then I saw him walking up the street, and we'd always wave and say, hi, how are you? And and then, yeah,
diddly-do.
In my DMs one day, like the youth do. And then we were just having a lovely time, but neither of us wanted to be in a relationship because we were both single and we were both really happy being single.
Mm.
So we just kind of tried to take it really slowly, but it was difficult to be apart. You've got to, at some point, get over the hurdle of, oh, but,
yeah,
you know, I'm too old for him or he's too young for me. Just have a lovely time together. And actually, age never really comes up unless I'm talking on a podcast or a journalist asks me.
Yeah, otherwise.
Yes. Otherwise, we don't really talk about it.
Our Hot Mess Mums, telling it like it is, Kelly Pegg with Jenny Powell.
We'll be back with Tamsin shortly. She's so lovely. But let's have a quick chat about our friends at Swan. Now, for any new listeners, Swan is an amazing British homeware company whose products are all very Instagram friendly. They sell everything, including coffee machines, air fryers, vacuum cleaners. You really can give your whole house a makeover with Swan's products.
One thing I think is perfect for this time of year is their slow cookers. Jenny, you've got one, haven't you? And you love it.
Yeah, and I love it the way you went, slow cookers.
There's nothing better than sticking a nice warming meal in there at the start of a cold day and the whole family tucking into it that night.
It's awesome. To check this and more, just head to swanbrand.co.uk and use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20 for 20% off.
Kelly Pegg, Jenny Powell, Hot Mess Mums.
Was independence an issue? I know Jenny talks about this a lot, from her divorce and going to being everything to her daughters and then meeting Martin, but she's still fiercely independent with everything, which totally. You know, I think Martin probably sometimes, which you maybe weren't, but you are. So was that an issue for you as well, that you'd gone through a lot and you'd come out the other side and you didn't need anybody?
To be fair, I have always been independent from the minute I left home at 16. And it was a massive thing for me to stand on my own two feet.
Mm.
You know, never wanted to borrow money, never wanted anybody else to pay for me, not even for a meal. I mean, it's almost to my disadvantage.
Tam, you could have had it all. But if you could have sugar daddy by now, we'd be on a yacht somewhere. Eh?
Never,
What are you like?
I don't think I ever met anyone that was very wealthy, that was very nice in my youth. So I always had a thing for the penniless poet, you know.
Oh, how romantic.
Romantic, yeah, very romantic. Yeah.
So, and maybe being artistic often means that you don't have, you know, financial stability, do you, if you're a creative?
Yeah.
So for me, it's just always been something that I've always looked after myself. But I also think that because of that, sometimes the good nature of how you are means that you can be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So people kind of end up being passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose now I don't really carry any passengers. You know, everyone's driving their own thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
For the kids.
And I think you'll pass that on to your kids, don't you think, with the girls? Because I look at mine, like Polly's 12, Connie's 19, but I can see that independence that they've seen in their mum through divorce, and I think as well as anything. Yeah. And like mum's a freelance, you know, single mum in a career, you know, in a world that's very unstable. Blimey, you know, she's doing it and she's done it.
Happy. She's doing it, but she's happy.
Yeah.
I think that's quite important.
Mm.
And also, you know, I do feel like we are allowed to celebrate our successes. We are allowed to say, and being a single mum and bringing your kids up is a success in itself.
Yes, gotcha.
I think. As someone said to me yesterday, which was really interesting, when I went to pick up my youngest from the school, we were chatting away about my eldest, and she said, you know, as a mother, it does work for dads too, but it's much more relevant for mums. You're only as happy as your unhappiest child. I really do believe that. And I spend an awful lot of time trying to keep them or make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
isn't it?
Bloody hell, yeah. It's so exhausting.
We know they have to go to school. We know we have to feed them. We know they have to get from that to there. We know we have to drive them around. But trying to keep them happy, like I spend a lot of time like in the supermarket being like, oh, we've got dried mango. She's going to love that.
Running out of dried mango. It's the thing, you know. I couldn't get any yesterday. It's all sold out. It's you, Tam. You're taking it all. Yeah, but it is. That makes it. And it like was. That. I thought, Pollyanna loves that. I'll get that. And wasn't there. I'll tell her that. I'll tell her why now.
But yeah, I bought it.
You're so like right.
I think that a lot of my responsibility, well, it's not even my responsibility because I love doing it, is like surprising and delighting my children.
Yeah. It's when I do the food shop, when this is no word of a lie, I pick my daughter up from school and before we go back out to do nursery pickup, she comes home and she wants a tour of the fridge and the cupboards to see what surprises I've got her from the supermarket. And so the pressure is on. I go to 3 fucking different shops when I do the supermarket job because she wants certain things. So I do a bit of Aldi because it's family friendly and good on the old budget. But then, of course, she likes certain branded things. So I'm a Waitrose girl. I go to Waitrose and get them. And then there's certain sweet treats she loves that Home Bargains do that I can't get in Waitrose for a decent price. So I go off to Home Bargains. And literally she comes home, she's like, right, tour before we go and pick Heath up. What have you got? And I'm like, oh, my God.
You set yourself up there, haven't you, Kelly?
And then I sit there at night and I think, I got myself nothing. Like, literally, apart from the dinners and that, but I never sort of treat myself to... Because it is all about them, isn't it? That's crazy.
And as a mum, that's what you do, isn't it? You spend your time trying to make them happy and then you do realise, I haven't eaten anything or, I didn't get what I like.
Yeah. And what's interesting, I don't know if you both agree with this, that Tom, Chris, Martin, they're way down on the list because of this. And I have said so many times to Martin, I'm really sorry, but you're at the bottom of my list. And sometimes I think, gosh, I just don't even, it doesn't even come to mind. And I'm so obsessed with making sure that, oh gosh, you know, like even with Connie being at uni, I'll be sending her stuff on my, you know, I said, you can use all my Amazon, you can use my Deliveroo. Oh my gosh, do you want me to send you some food? All the rest of it. And he'll come home that day and go, what's for dinner? I go, nothing. I've been too busy ordering Connie food to make sure she's got all her favourite stuff. Yeah. And you're like, I've got it all wrong.
Yeah, but I suppose sometimes, but that's also, Jenny, because you're holding it all up. So sometimes someone else has to support you while you hold it all up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he understands that.
Yeah, because he doesn't. He says, it's fine. Oh, no, I'm so hungry. But no, I think he does realise that. Is Tom the same? Because I think you are, you know, and Chris, as a guy, when you've got, I think with women who've been divorced and they've been single mums, all the rest of it, your focus is like, ridiculous because you get so I just got obsessed with just, you know, these two kids are now my full responsibility. Even if I've met somebody else, like with Martin, I can't let go of that feeling. No. And I don't think I ever will. And he always says, why don't you let me do that for them? Why can't I help? Why don't you include? And it's a bit of an issue, really.
Do you think personally that you like the actual responsibility of what you have on your shoulders? Do you ever sometimes go, I'm overwhelmed with it all. I can't cope. I'm too overwhelmed with everything that I have on my plate.
Yeah.
That's it.
And nobody else has it like I have it. Yeah, I do. Quite a lot, actually. Yeah, I do. And I get resentful and I'm just wondering, but that's me doing it because there's no real reason to do it. I just bring that on myself quite a lot. Yeah. And I have quite a rant to say, you don't understand, I'm doing it all.
Sometimes with the responsibility, you just want to go, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to go out and walk.
Yeah. And I threaten all the time. I threaten, what would you do if I wasn't here? How would you cope? How would this work? Because every morning it's, Mum, I want my hair putting up. Mum, will you come and sit with me while I brush my teeth?
Always Mum, innit?
And talk to me. Mum, have you packed my lunch? And Chris is like floating around in the kitchen. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And I feel like, you know, it's the whole thing. And I actually said this morning, what are you going to do tomorrow? Because tomorrow I'm leaving early and I am leaving the house and I will have something nice on that hasn't got food on and I will have my makeup done. So what are you going to do? Because I just feel like sometimes, I don't know whether it's a female-male thing. They're the spectator more than the participant. But maybe that's because we just do it all.
But I do. I also believe that if you want something done, ask a busy woman.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Can I borrow that?
That should be a t-shirt.
If you want, don't ask just a busy person, and don't ask, certainly don't ask a man who hasn't got much to do.
There's a silence, and this is on purpose, everyone, because I want you all to really think about what she has just said.
Yes. Somebody that's got loads to do, mates of mine that are so busy, I'd trust them with, like, organising my birthday party before someone that had nothing to do.
Absolutely bang on, Tam. Bang
because
on.
Because they're used to it. Their tools are all kind of nice and nicely sharpened, and they're ready. And
they're set up.
They know how to pick the phone up and multitask and make the dinner while they're on the phone and doing it.
Do it all. It's just sometimes unenjoyable, isn't it, multitasking, and sometimes makes you feel a bit poorly. That's the only downside to it. We get shit done, but sometimes I think, I don't want to spin all those plates, but I've got to, and that's how I've got to get through today. That's the only downside of it, isn't it, I guess?
We know we love it, and we wouldn't have it any other way, but just we need to recharge our batteries sometimes, and somebody else needs to step in sometimes and just take her for a minute.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I just go on strike. I just said, there's nothing for me. I'm going to bed. I know it's 5:30 in the early evening, but sorry. And that's what I do. And it happens like a couple of times a month. And everyone's got used to it now. And they just like, oh okay, she's off the radar today. And that's it. And then I'm recharged and I'm back in it, back in the game. But
really? That sometimes you just need to, I mean, I sometimes have to go off to my bedroom and just have a couple of hours of a nana nap, you know.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, now you're talking.
They're Jen's favourite things.
After the school run, if you've got nothing to do, try and get a quick hour in before you take anything else.
You've got a good band of merry women around you. I noticed with Kate Thornton and all the sort of Amanda Holden and Angela Griffin, you really have, they really are real, genuine, proper friends. Because people say to me, oh yeah, but showbiz friends, they're not real friends. But you lot, you're sorted. You've got it, haven't you?
We do have a lovely support network.
I can tell.
Really feel like if I ever needed anything, if I was stuck, or if I needed to phone someone at 4 a.m. and say, help me, I don't know what I'm doing with myself, or you know, I'm having a nervous breakdown, they'd be there.
So I think we've all had to be superheroes, super women during all this episode of 2020. I can't even call it what it is. In that time, it must be hard for you because you had the girls. I mean, obviously the dad's in California, isn't he?
Yeah.
So did things have to change up? Did you have to sort of rejiggle all the arrangements and kids?
There was nothing really to arrange because there was nothing happening. We literally just tried to get food, and we cooked a lot of food and we ate a lot of food. And at the beginning of lockdown, you know, we were day drinking, and then we put on loads of weight, and then we looked in the mirror like, what are we doing? So then we started to sort ourselves out, you know. It's very easy to lose your way in this industry. Like, because if I don't have some form of schedule or something to do, of course at 2 p.m, why don't we open a bottle of wine? Because we're not going anywhere. It would be lovely to have a lovely bottle of red. You know, you can make it as posh sounding as you like, but you're still day drinking. Mm-hmm. So it was quite nice to come out of that. It was almost like a shock. The stopping all everything, really busy, to nothing. I think at the beginning of it, it felt like, how are we going to make this work? Then it was a novelty for a while. So, yeah, the homeschooling, I realised I'm just a rubbish teacher.
And every guest we've had on has said the same thing. Jenny Frost was brilliant. She literally told her kids' school to just piss off. She said, I can't do it. I'm just going to do the maths with them, and that's it. She said it was an absolute, and we found it hard, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We had arguments in this house. It was just...
A lot of crying.
FaceTime to the teacher saying, we can't keep up with the amount of work you're sending.
Yeah.
He hates it.
And bless the teachers. You know, they were also trying to feel their way through it. And what did we learn from it? Just really that it's all right to plant seeds and bake cakes and have family time and to try and keep your mental health as bright and artistic.
Do you know what's interesting? 2020 has probably the most educational year in our lifetimes.
I mean, you think those kids have missed so much school, but
they've gained so much.
Probably absorbed over these last few months has been quite intense.
I think so. I really do. I think the connections have been made that wouldn't necessarily have been there. And that, you know, that goes for family and friends and just society in general. And, you know, just the way they've all looked. And the funny thing was, the minute they were allowed to go back to school, I've never seen a kid so happy to go to school.
Really? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, didn't know.
Mine weren't that happy, but once they were there, you really see, oh, they're back blossoming with their friends.
Yeah.
You see their personalities kind of open up. But I did worry because they weren't very, they didn't want to go out, sociable.
Mm.
They'd become quite insular.
Yeah.
I know it does that to you, though, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, because you get used to it and it becomes a bit of a comfort blanket, a little like when you have Christmas, normal Christmas, and you have that time off and you're all just in the house all the time eating and drinking.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, January hits and you've got to go out again. I find that as a, like a stay-at-home mum, that when, like, we've got an event tomorrow and I'm just so stressed about it and I couldn't even tell you why, but it's because I don't go out. Apart from the school. So when you do, it's like a bloody big deal, and it shouldn't be, should it? You know?
No, it shouldn't. But it's, you know, how are we all going to socialise again? How are we all going to...
I know.
It still looks very weird to me watching the TV, someone cuddles.
Yes. Yeah. Apologising for being close to someone as well, you know, in the supermarket and nursery pickup and all of that. I find it, like, really weird when you're having to stand back and...
But even like now, you know, the three of us should have had a lovely lunch together, big hugs, a real giggle around a desk.
Would we have done that?
Yeah.
We'll come to London and do it.
Yeah, we'll come down and we'll do it all over again. Because we're like,
don't you miss like lunches with friends?
Yeah. So we'll get there, promise. Honestly, one way or another.
Yay.
Make it happen. On a last sort of note, you know, I know that you, you're akin with the old, you know, with spiritualism and being a yogi. And I know I've got Kelly into it now, Tam.
I'm loving it. I'm doing about 5 sessions a week at the moment. I'm online, obviously. I've got one studio session in before lockdown 2.
Yeah.
And that was great. And now I'm online and I'm loving it.
But no, what I was going to say, Sam, you look absolutely amazing for 50. And
yes,
the career you've had, we haven't even bothered touching on all the things you've done. Because you know what? People know. It's really weird. You know when sometimes you have a guest on, you're like, well, we've got to make sure we mention this. I thought, well, everyone knows. So it's fine. But your secret, people say it to me, but what is, you know, for you, what's been your mantra? What's been your... fitness regime?
I don't even feel qualified, Jenny, to give advice on
that. Oh, you should.
The thing is I don't do anything religiously enough to say, oh, this has been the thing. I think genetics play a massive part. What I would suggest would be the reason I still think I'm in my 20s. That's in my head until I look in the mirror, you know. So I still think I'm a massive kid, and then I go,
well, that's it then.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that.
It might just be a lot of laughter and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Fun
and you've got a knowing about you, you know, and I think that comes later on anyway. Thank you, Tamsin. You've been lovely to talk
thank
to.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, I'd love to be doing this. I mean, imagine this being your job.
It is.
Oh, yeah, it is.
We'll do some more, but hopefully in the flesh next time. Yeah.
All right, sure. Yeah.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Yeah, see you soon.
Bye.
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 Bye. Thank you.
The Hot Mess Mums, Kelly Pegg with Jenny Powell.
Oh, she's so lovely. Thanks to Tamsin and also thanks to Swan for sponsoring this episode.
Indeed. And if you fancy giving your home a bit of a refresh at the start of the year, then make sure you go and check out their gorgeous products.
Just visit swanbrand.co.uk today.